Hi, I'm Jim Park. Welcome to HDT Talks Trucking. The march toward a low-carbon, low-emissions future is going to be slow and technically challenging, but we are making progress. The population of near-zero emissions diesel technology trucks continues to grow. Today, clean diesels make up about 57% of the commercial vehicle population. That's nearly double where we were a decade ago, and it's a 10% jump over this time last year. In this case, we're talking about trucks equipped with diesel particulate filters and selective catalytic reduction systems. To talk about that ongoing transition, we have Alan Schaefer with us on this episode. He's the Executive Director of the Diesel Technology Forum. The forum keeps tabs on this sorts of things, as well as raising awareness about the role of diesel engines in our lives. We have links to the forum in the show notes if you want to learn more about that organization, and you can find them online at dieselforum.org. My conversation with Alan Schaefer begins right after this.
SmartWay Verified Double Coin Truck Tires support the sustainability goals of the transportation industry. To find a dealer or truck stop near you, visit www.doublecointires.com. The smart money is on Double Coin.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Could you start by telling us a little bit about the Diesel Technology Forum, what you do, and why statistics like the penetration of near-zero emissions diesels are important to us?
Sure thing. Well, we represent the leaders in advanced diesel technology and components and the fuels that power diesel engines and equipment. So having a good understanding about the population of technology and the state of diesel out there in the world today is very important to us because we're trying to educate folks about the continued value and importance of diesel today and going forward in the future.
The general public probably doesn't pay much attention to this sort of thing, but they're generally fairly quick to condemn us as being a dirty industry. I don't think that's the case anymore. Do messages like this get out to the public, and are they starting to understand that we are making pretty dramatic improvements?
I think it's still a challenge, but I agree. It is sometimes fallen on deaf ears, but it's an important story to tell because it's one where you think about where industry has come from. And today, these vehicles emit really just a fraction of the emissions from just a decade ago. So it's tremendous progress. And I like to remind folks that every time, you know, a trucker gets behind the wheel of a new generation truck and starts driving, all the decisions they make contribute to reducing emissions and improving our climate. So great progress from the technology and the people that use it, frankly.
Okay, well, let's hang a few numbers on this so we can just, you know, get a sense of how much better we are getting. What's the percentage, I guess, of near zero emissions trucks that are on the road today in 2023?
Sure. Well, let's get out the pie charts. So we've got about 16 million commercial vehicles registered and operating today. That's as of the end of 2022. About 12 million of those are diesel of some generation. And about 57% of those are of the newest generation that we call near zero emissions technology. And that means that they are 2010 and later model year vehicles. So in round numbers, it's about 7 million trucks on the road operating at this very moment.
That's quite a number, 7 million.
That's class 3 through 8, I should point out.
Okay.
It's the full range.
Well, let's put this emissions, the cleaner emissions, into perspective. How much cleaner are diesels today than they were, you said, a decade ago? But if you want to go back a little further, just to put a dramatic number on it, it's really quite remarkable.
Yeah, it's well over 95% reduction in both nitrogen oxides and particulate matter from the industry emissions of one generation of diesel engine to another. And when you think about it this way, it would take 60 of today's trucks to equal the emissions of one truck that was built in the 90s. So think about that, 60 of today's trucks. So that means they have about 1/60th the overall emissions of nitrogen oxides, particulate matter, hydrocarbon, et cetera. So just a teeny fraction of the emissions today compared to, you know, a couple decades ago.
And the truck population hasn't grown by a factor of 60 over that time. So really, we are net lower than we were back in that day, weren't we?
Indeed. And when you think about the the turnover in the fleet, I mean, that really contributes to clean air progress that we experience around the country. And, you know, you start to think about, you know, where most of the emissions come from. They don't come from the population of the newest trucks. They come from the shrinking population of the older vehicles.
Well, you wouldn't expect this transition to happen overnight. Certainly trade cycles have a role to play in, you know, how long people want to keep their vehicles. Can you speak a little bit to that about sort of how this cycle works and how long a truck's, what its useful life is?
Sure. You know, it used to be, I think the rule of thumb was about a 12 to 15 years for fleet turnover until we started to see a majority of the new population of vehicles in the fleet at any given point in time. The last couple of years have kind of upended that with the pandemic, and some of the supply chain issues have been challenging for manufacturers to keep a steady stream of new products out there going into the pool of commercial vehicles. And that means some of the older products may be coming out of the pool. So it's been upended a little bit, I think. But it is true that getting that continued turnover, just putting into place one new truck and getting rid of one of the older trucks, really can have an impact, not just, you know, on the emissions, but also in terms of fuel economy and efficiency for the driver.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we often talk about, you know, the technology laggards, you know, folks who just don't want to change. But to be fair, some of the emission systems have caused a lot of truck owners a lot of grief and aggravation over the years. How many of those do you think are simply hanging on to the old stuff because they don't trust the new? Or is it just a matter of waiting for the fleets to cycle through?
Yeah, it's hard to put a fixed number on that. I would say there's definitely a population of folks out there that are going to hang on to those, you know, pre-2007 trucks for as long as they can, so they don't have any emissions control technology to deal with. They're going to repower, rebuild, you know, as much as they can. But it's really the minority of the population out there. And most of those kind of vehicles anyway are the ones that are probably putting on fewer miles every year. And so they're not the ones that are, you know, running day in and day out around some of our most congested cities. And so maybe they're used in seasonal applications, et cetera. So it's a small and dwindling population, but I completely get it that there's some folks that want to hang on to the past instead of transitioning to the future.
I guess we're comfortable with that technology. Every time we turn around, these new rules are making life pretty complicated for us. So I guess understandable, but maybe not forgivable.
Mm-hmm.
If I could use that word.
Absolutely. I think you can. And, you know, a big factor is not just the aggravation of the emissions control systems, but cost, right? I mean, I think
the cost of
new trucks, obviously, as well as everything, really has grown tremendously. And that has put pressure on folks and what they're able to invest in. Even, you know, some of our most progressive fleets, you know, have to really take a hard look at the numbers when they are what they are, not just for the capital acquisition of the vehicle, but the cost of fuel, I think, has also had an impact on people in the last couple of years, especially.
Well, that's something interesting. The cost of fuel and the search for higher, better fuel economy is what's driving a lot of people into the cleaner trucks now. Wasn't long ago that people ran away the other direction because they lost a lot of fuel economy when that first round came out back in, what was it, 2004?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to say that's a plus.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've seen industry really since 2010 has been the milestone where we've really seen the ability to recover some of that lost fuel economy and savings for drivers. And it came, though, at the cost of the complexity of the systems out there, the SCR systems, the fact that they require diesel exhaust fluid, et cetera. But, you know, it's been a balancing act for everyone. And, you know, manufacturers have been able to deliver trucks that can get much better fuel economy while still meeting these very low emission standards that they have to meet. So it's really been just in the last 10 years that, you know, the tide has turned towards restoring some of that efficiency that was lost in previous years.
Well, you want to talk about efficiency. We heard last week, I think it was, Navistar announced the results of their Super Truck 2 project. That truck achieved 16 miles per gallon. I know that's kind of theoretical at this point, but it's three times the fuel efficiency of what we were seeing back in 2004, which translates into one-third of the CO2 emissions. Do you think a truck like that is commercially viable at some point in time?
You know, the Super Truck program is really one of the great success stories and the joint efforts of the U.S. government, the Department of Energy, and the truck and engine makers that have been participants now for several generations, several rounds of work there. And I think, you know, what that has always been is to really push the envelope of technology and see how far we can go with things like brake thermal efficiency in the engine, aerodynamics on the vehicle, and all those factors together. How can you make the engine lower emitting and yet more fuel efficient? And it's really been a success story. And while we haven't seen, you know, a version of the super trucks available for sale on a lot anywhere, we have seen industry benefit quite dramatically from a lot of the learnings and technologies that have been perfected and developed as a result of the super truck programs, particularly in the engine and the combustion management world. Maybe not so visible there, but those are things that have made a big difference enabling manufacturers to meet the emission standards.
To a non-engineer who wouldn't really get it, getting to 55% brake thermal efficiency is like a moonshot. I mean, that's a really huge achievement. But, you know, it's just a number, right? 55. Okay, what was it before? 50, 48, 50, you know, 40, who knows? But we're moving in the right direction. I think that's the important thing to take away from it.
Yep, absolutely. And I have no doubt that in the next, you know, 3 to 5, 7 years, we're going to see some of the innovations and research that has been put forward on this Navistar vehicle find its way into the population of new trucks that folks will be able to buy on the street. Both in terms of helping to meet those greenhouse gas rules that are going to be finalized later this year, as well as some of these future engine standards. So everybody benefits from those kind of neat programs where you see those the big numbers. But boy, wouldn't it be great to just, you know, walk out to a lot and get one of those 16-mile-a-gallon trucks.
Hey, you got a million and a half in your pocket, you can have one.
Yeah, there you go.
Really. Well, are you worried or does it concern you that with all the engineering resources the OEs are going to have to put into meeting the new NOx rules and the BEV mandates, that they may be less focused on developing this sort of technology, closer to the ground stuff?
Well, they have their work cut out for them. It's really a juggling act right now. I mean, when you think about, you know, a decade ago, it used to be, gosh, can we make, you know, diesel almost near zero emissions? And the answer to that is yes. It seemed like a huge challenge at the time. And that was just really kind of a one-dimensional chess game. But now we're playing like three-dimensional chess, where not only do we have to make today's diesel and natural gas engines cleaner, more durable, and meet future standards, we've also got to balance our investments in research and technology to bring in this new generation of zero-emission vehicles that we did not have to consider before, and all the differences that come with that, not just in the vehicle themselves, but now all of a sudden, as manufacturers, a lot of them are responsible for the infrastructure to fuel the vehicle. So that's quite a different dynamic than we've had at any point in the past. So, those things obviously must work together. You can't have zero emission vehicle technology be a success without an infrastructure there to support it. And I don't mean just the charging part of it. It's, you know, it's the whole ecosystem, right? That anywhere in the country that you're driving and you have a problem, you call a dealer and need help, that you're going to get it in a reasonable amount of time to keep that load moving and keep your business humming. And I think, you know, we're just starting to scratch the surface of just how challenging that's going to be. But, you know, I think today's truck makers are really well positioned for success there based on what they've done with internal combustion technology, and look forward to seeing the results of that work.
Okay, yeah, I'm watching this with interest as well, and just fascinating by the progress we're making. But let's get back to your announcement here. You said recently that we're now at a 57% penetration rate for new trucks. You also rank some of the top 10 states for adopting these new technology diesels. The top states include Utah, Pennsylvania, the District of Columbia, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Illinois, Louisiana, and Wisconsin. But I don't see California on the top 10 list. They're actually in 35th spot, I think. Do you have any thoughts on why that might be?
Sure. And, you know, Indiana again this year ranked number one with 73% of the trucks registered on operating there as the newest generation of diesels. The California has been a laggard in the past 7 or 8 years that we've done this this research. I will say to their credit that they've moved up quite a bit in terms of the rate of change of getting in new technology vehicles. But I think it's no secret there that if you're a trucker, you're feeling like your business is under threat. If it's not from just from emission regulations and ability to operate, there's labor concerns. There's a whole range of things that make it very challenging to be in the business of trucking in and out of California. And I think the cost is significantly higher. And that has contributed to folks, you know, hanging on to what they know, which is some of the older technology for longer. They haven't been able to invest because of the economic situation, for lack of certainty in regulations, for knowing that they're going to have to switch into something that's brand new, more expensive, more complex. So there's probably a whole host of reasons there. You know, this research looked at through the end of 2022, and this is the first year, 2023, that the California fleet rules are into effect. So I'll be really interested to see what our numbers look like next year about this time.
Yeah, that should give things a bit of a push, shouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's taken 20 years to get as far as we are now, to 57%. Don't expect it to happen overnight. How long do you think it'll take us to get to 100%?
Well, that's let me get my crystal ball out here, Jim.
Yep, shine it up for us.
You know, I think, as I say, you're looking at, you know, 12 to 15 years for turnover the fleet. So, you know, I'd say in the next decade plus, we're going to start to see that today's generation of diesel technology is sort of the minimum background standard. And at the time, you'll see more of the new trucks on the road from the 2027 generation vehicles, the next round that meet the more stringent NOx standards that were just finalized. So we'll see that turnover in the fleet. But, you know, again, it's fully dependent on a whole bunch of things, like how's the economy doing? What's the demand for freight? How is the health of the industry economically? Are folks willing and able to invest in new generation diesel, or are they looking at some other alternative? So I think, you know, one of the biggest things that we overlook in our energy and environmental policies is simply the turnover of the fleet and what that contributes to improving emissions for all of us. And last year we looked at the 10 Northeastern states and asked the question about what would be the better strategy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in that region the fastest and cheapest. Would it be accelerating the turnover of the existing fleet and using renewable fuels, or would it be a fully zero emission vehicle electrification strategy? And the accelerated turnover to diesel, to new generation diesel and renewable fuels was going to deliver three times the benefits at about 25% of the cost. So, and that was just in the 10 Northeastern states that we studied. So we understand the power of just simply investing in the new thing and getting more of that new generation of technology out there, particularly when it's replacing a pre-2007 vehicle. I mean, you're really bringing home some big benefits then.
Yeah, and those, as you said earlier, those 2007s will be heading for the door, so to speak, fairly soon. They're getting a bit long in the tooth now. Okay. I've always wanted to say this in an interview. You know, I've just been handed a bulletin, or you know, this just in. But we did get an exciting announcement today, the day we recorded this video, from the California Air Resources Board and the Truck and Engine Manufacturers Association. The two parties have apparently agreed to work a little more closely to achieve these future emissions reductions targets. I think that's historic. These two groups have had their disagreements over the years. Do you have any observations or comments on what was released today? What's in that announcement?
Well, it is very, very fresh, Jim, as you point out. So I guess in my short time with it here, trying to understand it, I think, you know, it is a significant breakthrough for industry overall. It will give truckers more choices of technology in California than they may otherwise have had. I heard a number of manufacturers really talk about limiting their product offerings in California in future years because just simply resources and economics, not being able to, you know, get a return on investment for all you had to do to meet their standards and their timeframes. I also think this is a significant development because it also restores some sanity, frankly, to the regulatory process here that recognizes this is a national industry that crosses state borders as a matter of practice, and that we need to come together to have a uniform national approach for the better of all folks, not just Californians, but everybody else involved. So I think that, kudos to EMA for their work and the companies for all the agreements that they made here. I also think that, you know, California was recognized they were out on a limb with some of their interpretations of lead time and stability and sort of flaunting some of the Clean Air Act provisions there. So whether or not you want to spend the next couple of years litigating all that in court, or do we want to have a thoughtful glide path for manufacturers and truckers to get the best technology that does the job for their business, I think the came down on the right side of things there with this announcement today.
Yeah, I was sure pleased to read it, and I think, as you say, that'll help things move a lot forward, a lot faster forward, with a lot less acrimony too.
Indeed. And I'm reminded in California that there's 125 times more new advanced generation diesel trucks on the road today than electric trucks. 125 times. So for every one electric truck there's, 125 of the 2011 or 2010 and later model year diesel. So diesel's still going to play a big role in California in the out years, yeah. No question about it. Yeah.
Okay, before we wrap up, sir, do you have any other little tidbits you'd like to add to this discussion or observations about the past 10 or 15 years and our transition to clean diesel?
Wow, where to start?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think, this is, I've had a great opportunity to watch this trajectory of going from diesel in the late 80s to where we are today. And it's been fantastic to watch the technology change and the accomplishments of so many, not just the engineers and manufacturers, but those that are using these vehicles. It's really been quite rewarding to see. And we're all reaping the benefits of that in terms of clean air progress. So my hat's off to all those that have done that. I think, going forward, we've all got a much bigger challenge, and that's, how do we figure this thing out with climate change, and what's the best strategy there? And I think that we have to be careful not to get too much into the basket of all electrification, all zero emission vehicles, and we're not going to give any credibility to anything else, because this is not a one size fits all problem, and they won't have a one size fits all solution. So I think for some people, you're going to find that diesel using renewable fuels or some kind of e-fuels we don't even know about yet could be a really good option going forward, particularly if the timing for some of the new ZEV technologies and infrastructure doesn't pan out. I think this thing is like a construction project on my house. It takes longer and costs more. And, you've got to still make do. You've got to still deliver the goods. You got to still get by. And I think, that we're going to be surprised by what the next generation of diesel and really other internal combustion engines, natural gas using renewable natural gas is really a fantastic option. Renewable diesel fuel, the drop-in replacement. I mean, there are so many ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and help keep our economy humming without waiting for new technologies that we're not sure how they'll fully work out just yet. So I'm excited about the future and, look forward to continuing to watch those developments.
Oh, great, great closing remarks. You're spot on with all that. So appreciate that. And thanks for your time today, sir. Good interview.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you.
I've been speaking with Alan Schaefer, the Executive Director of the Diesel Technology Forum. The forum is a non-for-profit organization dedicated to raising awareness about the current and future role of diesel engines, equipment, and fuels. We've got links in the comments section in the show notes to the Diesel Technology Forum if you want to learn more about it. Don't forget to subscribe to Heavy Duty Trucking's YouTube channel and give us a like. That helps more people to find us. And check out our other social media channels as well. You can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And remember, there's lots of great written content about the trucking industry on our website, truckinginfo.com. I'm Jim Park. Thanks for watching.